Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Mark chapter 2. Y'all got a Bible? I'm going to get really excited up here and close early. My goodness. Mark chapter 2. Wow, what a great church. What a great church. What a blessing it is to be in God's house. It's a blessing. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. I'm reading out of the NIV version this morning, and I have a word in my heart that I want to share with you. The Bible says this: a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Somebody say amen right there. Preach the word to them. Isn't that good when preachers just preach the word? Verse 3. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith. Somebody say their faith. He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I like that. If that wasn't enough, look down at verse 11. He takes it a step further. He says, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Everybody said amen. Really quick, just go back one book to Mark chapter 1. I want to read one more portion of scripture, and then I'm going to preach, and then we're going to pray for people, and then we're going to go eat lunch. Everybody said amen one more time. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Verse 17. "Come, follow me." I love that. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Get that in your heart today. Underline that scripture. If you've already got it highlighted, highlight it again. Turn it different colors. Verse 17, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." Today I want to speak to you from this subject and from this thought for just a few moments this morning. Gone fishing. Gone fishing. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your presence, God. Lord, today, Lord, while we might be sensing atmosphere, what a great church, what a cool church, God, cool lights, unbelievable music, cool people, great people, Lord, the atmosphere is set, Lord, but what we are sensing today is so much more than atmosphere. What we are sensing today is your presence. For your word tells us that you inhabit the praises of your people, God, and it's only in your presence that we can leave this place transformed and changed by your power. Today, God, I pray for the sinner to the saint, Lord. I pray for those that have been walking with you for some time, those that have been seasoned in the church. Lord, I pray that today, God, that you'd begin to speak to their hearts. And once again, Lord, you would allow them to be transformed by your word. But God, I also pray for those that walked into this house today not knowing you, not even know how they got here. Maybe someone invited them. Lord, today I pray that you would speak to them and you would reveal yourself to them in a way that they never could have imagined. Today, Jesus, we are after transformation. We are after your will. I pray that you would speak to us now. In Jesus' mighty, holy, awesome, majestic, worthy, wonderful, glorious, amazing name. Everybody said. Amen. Everybody said. Amen. I come from a loud and rowdy church back home in Miami. I mean, they wave hankies at you, they spit on you, they throw water at you, they say amen, they say I like that, they say that's good, they say heard, they say holler at your boy, they say preach it. It doesn't matter. They just shout at you. They shout at you when you preach good. They shout even louder at you when you preach bad. It's amazing. But on the count of three, can you just help me out? Make me feel like I'm at home a little bit. On the count of three, just try one of those. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Oh my goodness, that's a church that's alive right there. That's a loud church. Wow, we... I can preach now. Come on, somebody. You know, I was going to school in Cleveland, Tennessee. And Cleveland, Tennessee was a small little town. And so Because it was a small town, you had to fly in and out of the Atlanta, Georgia airport. And so I was home for the holidays, visiting my family, visiting my parents. And Christmas break was ending. And my family's a strong Pentecostal family. We believe in things like prayer. Can I get a witness out there? We believe in things like reading your Bible. We still think just reading God's word can change you. You can find healing. I mean, we believe the crazy stuff. We believe that Jesus is still doing miracles. We believe if you're sick, you put someone's hand on them and you can believe in Jesus' name, they can get better. I mean, we believe crazy stuff. We believe you might not have money in your bank account, but you can pray and God can supernaturally provide. I mean, we're kind of crazy, okay? I mean, we just believe that stuff. And so, you know, we were getting ready to go back home, and I was getting ready to say goodbye. I was in the sophomore year of college, and we got together to do what we call a holy huddle. And that's when you get together and you do a family prayer and you begin to pray over the needs. And they were praying over me. And while they were praying over me, all of a sudden I sensed my grandma. She put her hand in my pocket while she was praying for me. She placed her hand in my pocket, and I noticed that she left something in my pocket. Now, I don't know about you, but you ever been praying, and I know you're all righteous and very, very spiritual people here at Healing Place Church, but you ever been praying, but your mind started to wander, and you weren't thinking about Jesus, you weren't thinking about good stuff, you were going, well, I got to get some lunch, maybe some of you right now going, this guy better hurry up, I'm hungry, you know, your mind can start to wander. And so I started going, amen, that's a good, amen, Nana, that's a good, amen, that's good, Dad, amen, Mom, that's a good prayer. But I was wondering, what's in my pocket? Finally, the prayer concluded, and I got out of that place and I kissed my grandmother, I kissed my parents, and I walked out of the room and I got in the car, and as I got outside, I put my hand in my pocket and I discovered that inside my pocket, my Nana had left me a $100 bill. I just felt like that was God's will for my life right at that moment. I will not stop anyone from slipping $100 bills in my pocket. So I said, this is good. God is good. Man, it's a year of Jubilee. Oh, I feel prosperity all around me. This is good. You know, $100 for a sophomore in college, that will take you a long way. You can eat for a year on $100. I felt good. So I got in the car, got to the airport, got on the airplane, landed in Atlanta, Georgia, $100, thanking Jesus, excited to be serving Jesus. God is good. Walk outside at the curb, waiting for my ride to come and pick me up. And as I'm waiting for my ride to come and pick me up, I notice this little old car. It's a beater. It's a junker. It's backfiring. And behind the wheel sits a little old grandmother driving the car. Yeah, she was sweet. Everyone say, aw. Kind of looked like my grandmother. Not as pretty. But she pulled up. And when she pulled up right in front of me, that car kind of breathed its last breath. It just went, poor old woman tried to turn that key ignition over. Car would not start. And I looked at her. I said, my goodness gracious. Man, I feel, wow. I feel bad for, somebody ought to help her. Poor old woman. Jeez. It was in that moment I heard a voice speak to me so clearly. It said, Rich, go over there and give her the $100 so that she can have her car towed. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. No. No. And so I did what a lot of us do. I kind of did the, you know, kind of the Jonah where you kind of walk. And maybe if I get over here, you know, God's not that big. You know, he can't speak to me over here, you know. You've done it, you know. Rich, go and give her the $100. Can't be God. Let me lay my fleece out a third time, you know. Rich, go and give her the $100. Fine. I say, fine. I'll obey you. You ever meet people that when they serve Jesus, they're like not even happy to be serving Jesus, you know? Like, fine. Oh, you ever meet an angry usher at church? That's a scary person to meet. Angry parking lot worker, park here. You're like, shh, sorry, I'll park, you know? Like, those are scary people. And I walk over to this poor woman, I said, ma'am, how are you? I'm a Christian. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I believe, you know, that God can speak to me. And listen, I'm looking at your situation. I'm looking at your circumstance. And it appears that your car is busted up, broke down, is ugly, is busted, is disgusted. You need some help. Take this money and get a tow truck. She says, oh, son, I don't need any help. I'm a Christian too. I said, who knew? I didn't know there was more of us out there. Wow, nice to meet you. Hi. Good to meet you. She said, I don't need your money. I'm good. I said, ma'am, you ain't good, okay? You could use some help. Son, I don't need your money. I'm just, ma'am, take the money. Son, I don't need, take the money, woman. Son, I don't need it. I'm thinking for sure God's going to open up the heavens. Gabriel himself is going to come down with a harp, maybe a trumpet, long flowing hair. Da-da-da-da. Rich obeyed. She refused. She said, no. I walk away. $100 still in my hand. I'm going, hey, God. Kind of missed it on that one. I thought you were like omniscient. Yeah, what happened there? I heard God speak to me so clearly. One of those moments I will never, ever, ever forget. I heard God say, Rich, I was just wondering if you were willing to obey me. Come on, somebody. Oh, we're going somewhere. I was wondering. Let's pray for those students right now. My goodness. Wow. He said, I wonder if you're willing to obey me. Check this out. Despite the outcome. We're pretty good at obeying when the outcome looks good. We're pretty good at doing what God tells us to as long as success is attached to it. I want you to catch something this morning. We serve a God that when he speaks, he expects obedience. In fact, the Bible says that obedience is better than your sacrifice. He ain't your therapist. He ain't the girl you go to the mall with and say, shoot, should I buy this? He ain't that. He's God. And sometimes when we read our Bibles, if we're not careful, we will miss the weight of what he is saying. And he says something right here in Mark chapter 1 that shakes me at the core. And if you've grown up in church, you've read it a lot of times. If you've grown up in church, you might have seen it on a flannel graph a time or two. But he says something that you have to ask yourself a very tough question. Jesus says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. When I read that, I have to ask myself, and I have to ask you, I don't want to do it, but I have to. A really tough question. The question is this, if I'm not fishing, am I really following Jesus? If I'm not obeying, he says, if you follow me, you will fish. Have you gone fishing recently? Oh, Rich, I can't go fishing. I mean, I'm not very gifted. I'm not very talented. Man, we spend so much time on coming up with crazy excuses. If we would spend half the time we do on our excuses as into building our faith, we would be solution makers. We would be answer bringers. Don't tell me what you can't do. Don't list me out all of your lack of and your shortcomings and how you don't qualify and how you're not validated. Hey, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. I can use you in your weakness. I'm strong when you're weak. But I'm looking for someone today who will be willing to obey me. Someone today who will say, I will obey you despite the outcome. I'm going to obey. I'm going to go fish. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm going to break free from my little box of thinking. And I'm going to reach people with the love of Jesus. I'm going to be willing today. People who tell me that they can't be used by God have obviously never even cracked open the Bible. Because it just takes a few minutes. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a philosopher. You open your Bible and you read the stories about the jacked up, messed up, crazy folks that God uses. I mean, he uses jokers and smokers and midnight tokers. I mean, these are some messed up people. You think your family's messed up? No, no, no. Read the Bible. You think you got a bad relationship? Read the Bible. You think you got some issues? Read the Bible. I mean, for goodness sakes, Noah was a drunk. God used him. Abraham was way too old, especially too old to be having kids. Can I get a witness out there? Kind of nasty. I mean, yeah. God will call you to do crazy stuff and nasty stuff. It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. Way too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Gideon was afraid. Moses had a stuttering problem. Samson was a womanizer. And he had long hair. I mean, that's amazing. God can use guys with long hair. Wow. I didn't know he could do that. Yeah, he can. I mean, Rahab, she was a prostitute. Jeremiah, way too young to be used by God. David, a murderer and had an affair. Elijah, suicidal. Isaiah, he preached naked. Can you imagine for one moment next Sunday morning? I I mean, are we serious? Naked? Jonah ran from God. Naomi, she was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist, he ate bugs. Yeah, he ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while they were praying. You've never done that before, though. No. You ain't never done that. Are we serious? Martha, worried about everything. The Samaritan woman, she was divorced more than once. Who's counting? 6 times. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. Lazarus, he was dead. He was dead. He was dead. We serve a God that can use dead people. Oh, come on. I think he deserves a big round of applause. He was dead. Quit telling me what you can't do. What can you do? Start obeying. Start being willing. Get out of your comfort zone. Break free from your little time thinking. Break out of your box and say, I'm here to reach people. He called me to fish. It's time for me to go fishing. If I'm not fishing, am I really following Jesus? I love the story found in Mark chapter 2 because it's an amazing story. It's not a very deep theological story, but it's an amazing story. It's an amazing picture of what it looks like to go fishing. And I think even in 2011, we can look at this story and we can find some true relevancy for our life. I love this story because these guys in the Bible, there's this crippled guy. We don't know much about this crippled guy, but the Bible says that these four guys came around him. They picked him up. They brought him to Jesus. In one moment, Jesus heals him. Jesus forgives him. And the man's life is changed forever. But if we're going to go fishing, I think we have to do what they did. And the very first thing we have to do if we're going to go fishing is, number one, is we have to see the need. Somebody say, see the need. We have to see the need. Friends, you might go, I don't know anyone who's physically crippled. You might not know someone physically crippled, but you definitely know someone who's spiritually crippled. You know somebody who is not in relationship with Jesus Christ. You know somebody who's hurting, who's broken, who's desperate. The question is, will you see them? Sometimes I feel like we don't even see the need around us. We have to open up our eyes. We have to see the need. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He saw people for what they looked like without a relationship with him. He didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. You have to get intentional. You have to open up your blinded eyes and see people for what they look like without Jesus. I love this story because if you know anything about that time frame, people who were crippled, people who were broken, people who had leprosy, they weren't brought to the center of the city, but rather they were pushed outside the city gates, meaning these guys had to go out and seek out this need. There's people in your world right now, you have to get out of your comfort zone and go and see them for what they look like without Jesus. When you begin to get a vision for what people look like without Jesus, that vision will always produce passion inside of you. If you don't have a compassion for the lost, it's because you don't have a vision of what the lost look like without Jesus. I am nobody's judge today, but the Bible says so clearly, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Ain't nobody getting to the Father unless they first come through me. Friends, if people don't meet Jesus, I don't need to tell you today what their fate will be. It's pretty clear. Do you see that need? Do you see people that they're crippled, that they're broken, that they're desperate? God can use you today, but you have to be willing. You have to obey. You have to step out. You have to see the need. But not only are we called to see need, seeing need is cool, but how many of you know that awareness to a problem has never been a solution to a problem? I mean, it's cool to say, hey, let's raise some awareness. There's some issues here. That's great. We need to do that. And my generation is awesome at raising awareness. But friends, we need to be a generation of people. We need to not just do church, we need to be the church. Not only can we see the need, we have to make the effort. Somebody say, make the effort. We have to make the effort. We can't just see it. We've got to do something about it. And I love these guys. We don't know their background. We don't know who they are. We don't know who their parents were. We don't know what church they went to. All we know is they saw some need, and then one day they go and they pick this guy up. The Bible says that we're to carry each other's burdens. They pick him up from his place of pain, and they begin to walk him over to the place where Jesus is. And when they get to the place where Jesus is, the Bible says that the house that Jesus is in is overflowing with people. See, I love that today. You might be one of those kind of people going, I don't know about this brand new facility. The church is getting kind of big for me, and I kind of like it small. Whoa, friend, read your Bible. Everywhere Jesus was, there was a large crowd of people following. Let me tell you the vision of this house. The vision of this house is that every chair, every week, every service, everything we do, it's overflowing with people. That is God's will for this house. That when the word goes forth, there's people. They get there. It's full. They can't get in. The meeting is rocking. Jesus is preaching. It's awesome. They can't get into the house. It's so full of people. So they could have said, hey, we tried our best. That was cool. You stay here. Maybe an usher. Maybe someone will come and get you some headphones. I don't know. But we got to go. See, a lot of us, what happens to us is that we make the effort up until the point that we begin to face what I call failure. We make the effort until we come to the place where there's a setback or where someone says no or where someone says, I don't want to hear it or I don't want that. Then we stop serving. We stop giving. We stop loving. Sometimes, man, people, our whole pursuit with people, that we meet people and it's like we're trying to get them saved, but as soon as you find out that they don't want to get saved, you stop trying. Or you stop loving them. You stop caring for them. You go, well, that was it. I tried. I kept inviting them. They finally said, quit inviting me. And so now I'm just not going to pray for them. I'm just going to, it's hopeless. Not these guys. These guys faced a major roadblock. They said, there's no room. They said, no. They got up on top of the roof. They cut a hole in the roof. They continued to make the effort. And they lowered this guy down to Jesus. That's what you and I are called to do. To make the effort, no matter the cost, we're going to keep pushing forward. The only time that we really fail is the last time that we try. Failure has never been a good enough reason for you and me to quit. We are Christians. We are not people of convenience. We are people of conviction. We don't give up. We don't stop. We keep moving forward. We keep pushing hard. We keep believing. We're people of faith. Faith, by definition, is the absence of sense. If it makes sense, it ain't faith. You're called to be a faith-filled church. I'm going to make the effort. I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep bringing people to Jesus. When they say no, sorry. When they say, I don't want it, I'm going to keep giving it. When they say, I don't want that love, I'm going to keep loving. When they say, I don't want you to serve me, I'm going to keep serving you. You know, I wish you could meet my dad. My dad is my hero. I'm a fourth generation Pentecostal preacher. All I know is one decibel, and that's loud, okay? And my dad's a crazy man. I mean, he's absolutely crazy. He was drinking Red Bull before Red Bull was created. And my dad, he had some crazy parenting techniques. And one of his favorite things was he loved to throw us kids into situations where he knew that we would fail because he wanted to teach us in life. It's not about what happens to you. It's about how you respond to what happens to you. And so one of his favorite things to do is on Saturday mornings, he'd like to wake us up. He'd like to take us door-to-door witnessing at 7 a.m. Shut up. You ain't ever failed until you've knocked on somebody's door on Saturday morning at 7 a.m. to tell them about Jesus. That's some failure. Dad wakes up, boys, let's go. Dad, where are we going? Going to tell people about Jesus. Dad, I don't think Jesus is awake right now, man. Shut up, Rich. Yes, sir. Get in the car. Yes, sir. And Dad would get in the car and he had crazy eyes going, you know? Crazy eyes. I mean, just wide awake, 7 a.m. Dad, how many cups of coffee you have this morning? I haven't had any coffee, boys. I've just been with the Holy Ghost. Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ooh, you're scaring me, Dad. You're scaring me, man. This is freaking me out a little bit here. And he's driving the car. I go, Dad, what are you doing? He goes, I'm looking for a house. I'm looking for a house. I go, Dad, there's a house. That's not the right house. That's not the right house. Finally, he finds a house. And say, Rich, that's the house. Get out of the car and just go tell those people about Jesus. I go, Dad, are you going to come with me? No, son, I'm going to be right here in the car. Dad would kick me out of the car. I'd walk up to the door, look back. Dad drove off. Door was up. What do you want? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Boom, the door would shut in your face. Okay, wow. Ooh. Okay, Dad, I think we're done, man. I enjoyed being persecuted for Jesus. Whoa. Oh, that felt, consider it pure joy, my friends. Wow. Let's go home, Dad. No, son, let's go to the next house. Go to the second house. What do you want? Hi, sir. My name's Richie Wilkerson, Jr. Want to tell you Jesus loves you, died for you. Boom, the door would shut in your face. Dad, come on, Rich. Let's go to the next house. Dad, go to the third house. You walk over to the third house, knock on the door. What do you want? Hi, sir. I don't know where my dad is. It doesn't matter. But I know it's early. Just want to tell you, Jesus loves you, died for you, has a plan for you. And just want to know, do you know Jesus? Can I pray for you? Boom! The door would shut in your face. One houses, two houses, three houses. I mean, every door was shut in your face. Every time you failed miserably. But can I just tell you, I don't know what it was. It was like, maybe it takes seven houses for you. Maybe it'll take 25 houses for you. I don't know, but somewhere between the third and the fourth house, everything on the inside of me began to change. You see, God has called us to be stirred, not shaken. Things are going to try to shake you, but hey, friends, what's happening on the inside of you is always so much more important than what's happening on the outside of you. And something on the inside would begin to change. I got this revelation. The door shut my face, and I went, oh my goodness, it's a miracle. I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. That wasn't so bad. They said no. That wasn't such a big deal. And from the third house to the fourth house, it was different. You started walking different. Oh, shoot. It's like Holy Ghost swagger. You know, it's like, oh, okay. Okay, homie. Stop. Shut up. Shoot. I got this. Dad, stay in the car. Dad, I got it. Stay in the car. And you walk up like a man possessed. And you knock on that door. Boom. Boom. Even the knock changes when you knock. Boom. 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 What do you want? How you doing, sir? My name is Reverend Rich Wilkerson, Jr. And I'm here to tell you about Jesus Christ. He changed my life and he can change yours. Today I want to know, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Sir, hold that door. Don't you shut that door, sir. Hold that door. Hold that door. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, who believes in him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know Jesus? I didn't think so. Let's go ahead and pray right now. Dad, come on. Let's lay hands on this guy. Let's pray for him. I'm telling you what, you'd begin to pray. Something would change on the inside of you. You discovered it doesn't matter if you fail. The real question is, are you going to quit? The real question is, will you persevere? The real question is, will you continue to make the effort regardless of the outcome? I thank God. As I read through my Bible and I look through the stories of the early Christians all through the book of Acts, while they're being speared to death, while they're being sawed in two, while they're being stoned, and while they're being boiled for death, while they're crucified, I'm so glad, oh, that they never went, wow, we're failing. We ought to quit. No, they said, this is all the reason more that we got to keep pushing. We got to keep believing. Jesus said this. He said, don't be surprised if people hate you because of me. When's the last time someone hated you for Jesus? He said, when you go to a town and they don't receive you, you know what you do? You shake the dust off your feet and you go to the next place. Modern day 2011, Rich Wilkerson Jr., Trinity Church and Tootsie's Incorporated Translation. When people don't want to be loved, when people do not want to hear your message, you shake the dust off your shoulder and you keep loving. You keep serving. You keep believing. You keep hoping. You keep making the effort. We're Christians. We're Christians. As the worship team comes back up, we're going to get ready to close this morning. If I'm not fishing, am I really following Jesus? He said, if you follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Do you see the need? Oh, there's need all around you. Have you made the effort? When's the last time you drove someone to church? When was the last time you invited someone to Healing Place? When's the last time you got someone a meal? When's the last time that you laid yourself down to serve the needs of somebody else? Have you made the effort, friends? Have you gone fishing? You know, I think it's important that we note today, it's big that we see the need. It's big that we make the effort. But if we don't do this third and final thing, friends, we're missing the whole thing. Lastly, we've got to know who the source is. I think this is good. I got to be reminded of this at 26 years of age. Who's the source? You know, they get this guy all the way over to this house, and this house is full of people, and they start to lower this man down, and as he gets lowered down, all of a sudden Jesus, the source of everything, looks at this man and says, "Son, today your sins are forgiven." And he says, "Because of their faith." Oh my goodness, that preaches to me this morning. Because of their faith. You have no idea the power of your faith for your family, for your friends, for the people in your world. Your faith. It says because of their faith. That would have been good enough just to deal with the spiritual needs. It's the greatest miracle we'll ever see. But he takes it a step further and he says, not only am I going to forgive your sins, but today I'm going to heal you. And in one moment, this man's life was changed forever. Not because someone gave him a burger, not because someone gave him clean water, but because somebody brought him to the source. And friends, I love lawyers and I love doctors and I love drug rehab programs. We use it all at our church. We have an entire arm of social service and social justice at our church. We love it. We believe in it. But friends, if we remove Jesus from this equation, we do not have a solution. We do not have an answer. It's all about Jesus. Everything that we do, it's about Jesus. Because when people get to Jesus, things change. Oh, I can preach my guts out, but my preaching cannot change you. We can sing songs all night long. These songs, they can't change you. This building, as great as it is, the labor of so many for so many years, as beautiful and majestic and awesome as it is, it cannot change you. There's only one who can change you. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is the source. He's the source this morning. I love it because Jesus says in Mark chapter 1, he says, "Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." Notice he does not say, "Come follow me and I'll make you catchers of men." Let me just relieve you from some responsibility. It's not up to you to change people. It's not up to you to deliver people. It's not up to you to heal people. It's not up to you to give purpose to people and to grace people. That all comes from Jesus Christ. Paul said it like this. He said, "I planted seed, Apollos watered seed, but only Jesus can make it grow." Jesus does the healing. Jesus does the saving. Jesus does the delivering. When we get people in Jesus' presence, miracles happen. Are you seeing need? Are you making the effort? Is your whole life all about bringing people to the feet of Jesus? "I've done my part. I fish. Now you got to be Jesus. You got to do your thing. You got to do you. Here's my part. You do you. You do you." Jesus is the source. You might be in this place and you're broken and you're hurting. Let me just tell you what. Jesus is your source. Jesus is your answer. He is the answer. Oh, friends, I don't have anything more than Jesus today. Silver and gold I do not have, but one thing I do have, his name is Jesus Christ, and he's been doing some miracles for a lot of years now, and he can still do a miracle in your life today if you allow him. Young people, hear me this morning. I want you to go home this week and I want you to grab your Bible and I want you to begin to read your Bible like you never have before. But as you read your Bible, I want you to search those pages and I want you to look for the person of Jesus. Because he's there in every page and he is the source. This whole book is all about him. It's all about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, every page, every chapter, every verse. You don't need more theology. You don't need more. You need more Jesus. How do you get deeper than him? You can't. How do you get wider than him? You can't. He's the source. He's everything. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. Every page, every chapter, every verse declares and shouts out the name Jesus Christ. In Genesis, Jesus is the seed that bruised the serpent's head. In Exodus, he's the fire by night and he's the cloud by day. In Leviticus and Numbers, he's the high priest making intercession for his people in the holiest of holies. And in Deuteronomy, he's the bearer up in the everlasting arms. In Joshua, he's the captain of the host of the army of the Lord. In Judges, he's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. In Ruth, Jesus is the perfect groom that takes on himself the perfect bride. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's the calling of young men into the priesthood and into the throne room of Israel. In 1 and 2 Kings, he's that whirlwind of power. He's that chariot of fire. He's the mantle of the Lord God of Elijah. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, Jesus is the Shekinah glory of God filling the temple of Solomon. In Ezra and Nehemiah, he's the voice calling to a bedraggled nation for it to rebuild the walls of its ancient and holy city. In Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, we see him again. He's that queenly figure who makes intercession for the people who she loves so dearly. Job, he's the patience of the pride of God that causes that man to cry out in affliction, though God slay me, yet I will trust in him. In Psalms, he's the good shepherd that leads us beside the still waters, and he restores our soul. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's the beginning of all wisdom. He's the wise instruction of a father to his son. In Song of Solomon, he's the lily of the valley. He's the fairest of the fair. He's the rose of Sharon. In Isaiah, he is the lamb wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. In Jeremiah and Lamentations, he's the voice calling to a youth saying, before I formed in the womb, I knew thee. Before thou camest out of the belly, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. In Ezekiel, he's the wind coming from the four corners of the earth that revives a valley of dry bones into praise and adoration of Jehovah God. In Daniel, he is the rock that came out of the mountains, not with hands, crushing all other nations. In Hosea, he's the loving and affectionate husband that redeems a degenerate bride. In Joel, he's the rain in the time of the latter rain. In Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, he's the last voice of the prophets that prepared a redemptive work since the foundations of the universe. I don't know about you, Healing Place, but I am so thankful that he shows up in Matthew. The babe in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, the lion of the tribe of Judah. In Mark, he's the healer of the blind, the maimed, the halt. In Luke, he's the great physician. He's the Christ of Calvary. He's the resurrected Lord. In John, he's the Word made flesh, dwelling among us. Friends, in Acts, do you see him? He's the giver of power at Pentecost to the brand new believers who decided to shake the world upside down. I just wonder, in 2011, in Baton Rouge, at Healing Place Church, is there still a group of people who are so hungry to see Jesus manifest in their city? Is there still a group of people who say, I want to see Jesus break out. I want to see my city turned upside down. If that's you, why don't you give them a shout of praise this morning? Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. In Romans, he's the only fulfillment of the law. In the letters of Corinth, Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossia, and Thessalonica, he's the perfect doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ. In Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, he's the dedication of young men who have consecrated themselves to a lifetime of service. In Hebrews, he's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. In James, Peter, John, and Jude, he's the greatest power in the universe. He's here right now. He's the power of love. We see him lastly in Revelation. He's the King of Kings. Come on, somebody. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He is the culmination of the conflict of the ages. His name is Jesus. Come on, let's worship Jesus all across this house. Give him a shout. He's the source. Come on, somebody!
Hey. Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.